Coming to you live from Memorial Stadium, it's Sports Nightly. All the Huskers, all the time. Sports Nightly is presented to you by the NDOT Highway Safety Office, who remind you to buckle up and put the phone down.
Pianto set, first offering. That ball's driven up the middle. Coming around third is Dylan Carey. The throw is offline. The Huskers win it. The Huskers win it. Nebraska will march on.
Wing to the near side. Snap back. Has some time. Steps, throws down the field. The pass is intercepted. Picked off by Sierra Wright to the 30, 25, 20. Sierra down the near sideline. 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Nebraska. Sierra Wright with a pick six for Nebraska. And the Huskers have taken the lead on the road.
Grindall, a couple of ball fakes, bounces into Prince at half court. And Prince is going to make a run on a falter. Steps back for three to tie the game. You betcha! Biggest shot of that freshman's young career. Timeout. We're tied at 75. Britt Prince is 19. She steps back and sticks a three-pointer, her fifth of the night.
Welcome back. Hour two of Sports Nightly here on a 4th of July Friday. Josh Shilkman here with you on a best of show. We're going to jump right back into our interviews, and we kick things off with a conversation Jessica had last week with Nebraska football strength and conditioning coach Corey Campbell. Jess began by asking if Corey has any downtime throughout the year.
Not really, but that's part of it. Our downtime is really when the guys are down. So when they get off, we get off. Now during recruiting season, obviously, we're in-house hosting official visits, giving, you know, our part to the program. But downtime, not so much, you know. But again, that's part of the job. I really enjoy it. You know, it's as the amount of time that we spend around the guys and have the ability to impact them. You know, I'm grateful for that time. So I don't really concern myself too much with being away from the guys.
How was the recruiting season? You guys just had a big weekend over the weekend. There's some viral photos going across social media. But just from, you know, the start of the camp season to now the dead period, how was the last month or 6 weeks for you guys?
It was great. A lot was going on in the month of June, like you said, from recruiting to camps to training our guys. But, you know, I think within that, a lot of great things got done. You know, we got a lot of really good athletes on campus, allowed them to see what was out here in Lincoln, Nebraska. For a lot of them who have never been to this part of the country, they don't know what's out here. And then they get out here and they see the facilities, they meet the people, they meet the staff, they interact with the players. It does so much for them in their decision-making for the next 3, 4, 5 years of their careers. The month of June was a great time for us with respect to our guys and their training. I mean, we made a ton of strides over the past 3 weeks, and you know, now going into in the middle of this fourth week of summer training, I've been thoroughly impressed with the work that the guys put in, especially the way that they came back in June. You know, we challenged them in May during their discretionary time to keep up with what they were doing, right? Interact with one another, communicate with one another, like hold each other to a certain standard. Because when we did come back June 1, first day of training, June 2nd, you know, we weren't taking any steps back. We were going to hit the ground and we were going to hit the ground running. And they met that challenge. And, you know, they came back in a good place. And the past 3.5 weeks of work that we put in, I'm proud of what they've done.
What are the reactions when you get to show people the weight room and just the facilities and what is in place here to help develop these future Huskers?
I mean, if I'm summing it up in one word, it's wow, right? Like, you know, we get, as I said, a ton of athletes who, you know, they've been on a ton of visits to some really incredible programs, but they get here and it's, words out of their mouth and not mine, like Nebraska has the best facilities in the country. We have speakers that come in that have worked in the NFL, that have worked with other collegiate programs, and they say the same thing, you know, and I think that's a testament to our administration. That's a testament to, you know, our community in understanding the importance of the quality of facilities that we do have to have at this place. And as a result, you get people in this building who, they want to be able to take advantage of resources that other institutions may not have. So we're really fortunate to be able to have these facilities, and we our plan is to continue to improve on them and make the most of them with our student athletes and those that look to come here in the future.
I remember when I first had you in here, the weight room, the new weight room wasn't open yet. And you were like, hey, we can work out anywhere and whatever equipment we can find a way to get stuff done. But what are some of the benefits that you found in training this team and with all the bells and whistles of this weight room now that you've been settled in for over a year now? What are some of the biggest benefits that you found out of this new weight room?
Right. On top of this year's size, right, you know, we have 32 racks in the weight room, and that gives us the ability to train a lot of guys. On Fridays, we do our team lift, right? And I mean, the energy is palpable when you have all of the guys in there. You know, they do a great job of coaching one another. So aside from that, you know, the ability to have different pieces of equipment, right? To train different guys, especially with their specific needs. Like, we have a ton of guys that have played a ton of football, and sometimes loading those guys, it isn't just weight on a barbell, right? It may be pneumatic resistance from a machine like the Kaiser, right? More selectorized machine equipments from, you know, a single joint standpoint, right? Just the ability to use the technology that we have from the Vol suite of tech, the force plates, Nord boards, force frames, to elite format our racks, being able to track barbell velocity. So we have a ton of technology at our disposal. But again, and I do stand on, you know, what I said before, when, you know, hey, if we got a barbell in place, we can train these guys, because there's no substitute for work. There's no substitute for the ability and the mindset to strain through hard things. So as much as we're appreciative of the bells and whistles, and it does give us the ability to get very specific to what we program for specific athletes, at the end of the day, you know, putting in work, picking up iron, giving blood, sweat, and tears, like, that is what's going to continue to make Nebraska the program that it is.
I know that you guys have moved on, and even going back to the bowl game, it was, hey, this is the first game of 2025. But when you come off a win like that, and especially for this group of guys, when I was talking to guys throughout the spring, it seemed like a lot of momentum was carried over from being able to compete in a bowl game. You've been doing this a long time. What are some of the things that carry over when you win your last game into what you do in January, spring ball, and into this time now?
I think a big part of it is belief. Right? You know, when you finish the season with a win, it ultimately, like, it gives you the belief that, hey, we can accomplish the goals that we set for ourselves. It also leaves a good taste going into the off season, right? Like, coming out of a season on a loss, right, it doesn't really feel good. But when you come out of it with a win, especially a win in a bowl game, what that does for your athletes is it gives them the belief that they can achieve more than they did the season before, right? And so where for a long time the goal here was to get back to a bowl game, like, that's not the limit that we're setting on ourselves this season, right? You know, we aspire for more than that. We're working for more than that. And at the end of the day, when we line up and play football in the fall, like, that is our expectation. So, you know, coming off of last season with that bowl win, it was great. We plan on building on that going into this next season.
Another conversation I had with a number of guys is just the weight that they were able to put on, but then maintaining the speed, like a guy like Emmett Johnson. And I know that's a collaborative effort between you and a number of people, Kristen Coggin, but how do you guys go about identifying, okay, this person would be well suited to maybe gain 10 pounds and just maintaining the speed? But I guess, what's that process like when you figure out what weight best suits individual guys?
Again, as you said, that is a collaborative process. Kristen does an amazing job in what she does. So throughout evaluation, putting them through a DEXA scan, getting their lean mass, their fat mass, right, their skeletal structure, in conjunction with the work that she does with Mitch, we figure out, hey, how much lean mass can this guy hold? You know, because sometimes you can get a little bit far-fetched in your expectations on weight. But once we have, once we've pinpointed what that is, there's a conversation between Kristen and their position coaches on the weight that they want them to play at. In the combination of all of those parties, Kristen, Mitch, the position coaches, and myself, you know, we aim to get these guys at the best body weight, the best body composition possible, so that they can be as elite performers in their position on the football field.
And then what's the process of maintaining that, too? I mean, because you go through different seasons and different times of the year, but once you identify that, then how important is it for them to also put it on themselves to maintain once they get there?
And you hit the nail on the head. It's personal accountability, right? As coaches, as support staff, we're always going to push them in the direction that they need to go. But at the end of the day, it's up to them. And again, we do the job of putting the plans in place for them to execute them, but then they have to go out there and do it. And, you know, that's a testament to what these young men are doing, right? They are taking heed to the coaching advice, and they're taking it upon themselves. But in addition to that, like from a positional standpoint, like those guys are holding each other accountable because they know at the end of the day, we are going to rely on everyone on this football team. Seasons are long, they're grueling, right? We have to be able to depend on everybody, and there shouldn't be a drop-off from the player that's currently in position number one to position number two. So they do a really good job personally, but also from a positional and team standpoint on holding each other accountable to those weight goals.
You've been through this a time or two with Coach Roll, and I know a lot of people point to, oh, year three with Coach Roll, but what, and every team, every instance is different, but what do you start to see in a program led by Coach Roll in year three with some of these guys that have been around, that have bought in, and just the culture and all of that? What are some of the things that really start to take off, I guess, once Coach Roll's had a chance to be around for three seasons?
Yeah, I think something that you hear Coach Roll talk about all the time is the process. Right. And in year one, guys are learning the process. In year two, they're living it. By the time we get to year three, guys start to defend the process. Right. And you know, in the teams that I've worked with Coach Rule, that is what you see in year three. Like, guys know it, understand it. You know, they've lived it. And now it's I'm holding myself and everybody else accountable to it. I'm willing to defend that. And so I think that's the biggest difference going into year three. Right. Like, guys have spent time in the program. They understand what the standard is. They're now standard enforcers, right? And so when you have a culture of that, the older guys know, the guys that have been in the program, they know and understand that all eyes are on them. Like, those young guys come into this program and they see how they carry themselves. They see how they conduct themselves around the building. You know, regardless if that's in the weight room, on the practice field, in the academic centers, in the film room, in the classroom, like, those guys are looking at them because that is who they aspire to be. And so it is a huge responsibility for those guys to defend that process as they're living it out on a daily basis. But I think that's the biggest difference when you're looking at year three of a Coach Rule-led program. And, you know, The guys are doing a great job with it. Like, it's very impressive to see the strides that they made from year one to now.
We'll pause the conversation there, but we'll have more of this interview featuring Nebraska football strength and conditioning coach Corey Campbell when this Best of Edition of Sports Nightly resumes after the break.
Hit us up on the text line. Text 402-413-2400 with your Husker thoughts.